Your art is a vessel for ideas. Hi, my name's Matej, and this is Surviving Art. The tag word today is ideology. Every piece of art has its own story and thus its own bit of ideology infused into it. And the main question for all of us artists is, how can we either become part of an already established ideology or even how to make our own? The point of this is quite straightforward and based upon an interesting phenomenon that pertains to objects in general, but specifically and especially artistic objects. So, before we venture into the how, let's try to explore the why first. Take the Ode to Joy, for example. Since its creation, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony has been used by a myriad of different, even contradicting causes to propagate their ideas. Used by both governments of Nazi Germany and Communist China, by protesters in Chile demonstrating against Pinochet and the then ruling class, it was played at the fall of the Berlin Wall by Christians, Buddhists, and all sorts of other religions. It was also the theme song of the RSSR, old school talk for communist Russia, picked by Stalin himself. In short, everybody and their fascist grandma used to relate to that song, while just over the border, the same tune was played by diehard communists. And now, it's the unofficial hymn of the European Union. It's a lot like if the song Stayin' Alive by the Bee Gees was used by both sides of any conflict. The concert itself would probably be aired in some natural country like Switzerland, with the speakers faced into the direction of the fighting countries, and just blasted onto the battlefield with everybody, regardless of side, religion, or mindset, relating to the same thing. The beauty and sheer amount of grace three pairs of airtight trousers can unleash in a society without autotune. Well, if they only knew what was coming. Well, my example is based on music, it works in visual arts all the same. There's a wonderful story someone told in a video somewhere on YouTube, might be Peterson, but it could also be Žižek, or any other philosopher and sociologist fond of either lobsters or other people's toilets, so I couldn't say for sure. Well, he said that he owns a portrait of Stalin that he proudly hung on one of the walls in his home. But by being someone that despises the horrific deeds that man was capable of doing, that portrait does not hang there as a token of reminiscence or a symbol of some old, partly forgotten way. He keeps it there because of the sheer fact that he can watch the ideology of the painting slowly crack and fade away. Meaning, now, it might still be a portrait of Stalin, the horrible person, but over time, in 100 or 200 years, when nobody that actually remembers what happened firsthand is alive anymore, he'll just be another old important guy on a painting. Just like the rest of them, probably exhibited in some museum and sorted on the merit of date and technique, not deeds. He might even be hung next to some old Russian icon of Jesus. When ideology vanishes from people's hearts and minds, it just leaves its products empty and only the technical traits like size, color, texture, motif, and composition stay. Our job as artists, then, is not to produce mere technical products, albeit what we end up with is exactly that, but to carefully craft our products in such a fashion that they become part of the zeitgeist, of the now. This again brings us to the wonderfully simple, but for some reason dismissed general differentiation between artists and artisans. Artisans craft empty vessels with no intention of them ever being filled with anything else than maybe a good wine if they make wine glasses, but artists make objects specifically for the purpose of carrying ideas inside of them. To put it simply, if artists like to craft poems, Artisans love to write dictionaries. And again, there is no right or wrong, really. It's just a matter of perspective and of varying outcomes. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Surviving Art.